Very, very much, Greg and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you, and welcome today to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. You know, everybody likes a good story, and so that's why I'm beginning today with a video. But in lieu of the gripping video, which really is a great, great story, I'll show it some other time. I'm going to just sort of get right into what I plan to talk about message-wise today from the text. Because what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at several generosity stories. Several stories from the Bible, from the New Testament, that illustrate generosity. And here's why I'm doing this. Because as you read through the New Testament, you will find that the New Testament often encourages, in fact, mostly encourages us to think generosity by telling us stories. Narratives, if you will. There's not necessarily a specific biblical New Testament formula. It's just one story after another, one narrative after another, so that I'll put myself into that story and ask, you know, how would I respond here? What would I do? What's my story? What's my generosity story? Okay? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a few moments and look through a few New Testament stories of generosity and sort of see what we can pick up on and learn. Fair enough? Okay? All right. Here's where we're going to start. We're going to start at Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to read a simple little story from verses 41 through 44. And again, this story is presented, and then there's no teaching section. It's a story for you to engage. Ready? Here we go. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. And many rich people threw in large amounts. And a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. In other words, this lady doesn't have a lot of buying power. Not a lot of leverage, and she has two what's called leptons, L-E-P-T-O-N, very, very thin coin. 2 cents, 2 pennies, that's all they are. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Perhaps you know that Bill and Melinda Gates have a foundation that is worth $33 billion. And in terms of philanthropy, I mean, this is a huge, huge deal. And Gates and Warren Buffett have encouraged billionaires around the world to consider giving 50% of their wealth to charity. Now, that's a wonderful thing, and we're going to see in just a moment how that people with deep pockets have a real place in God's work. But the first story that we encounter here is a woman without a lot of influence, not a lot of buying power, no leverage, but yet Jesus really shines a spotlight on her and underscores that, you know, a small amount is still huge. If that's all you've got to offer, don't come and do nothing. Do something. And a small amount is huge in God's eyes if that's all you have to offer. Don't view generosity as something that's only a luxury for the wealthy. It's also the privilege of those who may even be poor. You may can only do a little, but you can do something, and God honors that, and God blesses that. All right, so there's the first story, all right? Fair enough? Let's go to another story. Matthew chapter 27. And this is right after Jesus has died, and we meet a man from Arimathea by the name of Joseph. All right, let me read this story. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Now stop right there for a moment. How'd he do that? Pilate is the Roman governor. How does somebody just waltz right in and say, "I'd like the body of Jesus," and Pilate says, "Okay." On two occasions, I have shaken the hand of the President of the United States. Not because the President of the United States wanted to meet me. I didn't get up one day, get a phone call going, "Hey, Ronnie, want to grab a burger?" I met the President of the United States because I was with someone of significant influence. Some of you will stand in places I will never stand. Some of you will have opportunities for ministry and service I will never have. Some of you will be able to leverage the cause of Christ and support and enhance the cause of Christ in ways that I will never be able to do, just because you have resources, you have opportunity, you have connections that some of us will never have. That's Joseph of Arimathea. He's a rich man, and he has become a follower of Jesus. And here at this strategic moment, he is able to serve the body of Christ and to encourage other followers. What had he done? He had built a tomb for himself, but he says, "Not for me. I'm going to use this to serve Jesus." And so he goes to Pilate. Pilate knows him. They have a connection. And Joseph is able to get the body of the... If somebody like Ronnie waltzed in, I wouldn't get an audience with Pilate. But Joseph had that audience. Hey, for those of you who have significant resources, for those of you who've been blessed, are you asking yourself, why me? Why has God put me here and now? How can I be God's instrument here and now? In a way that, you know, maybe somebody like Ronnie can't do. But you can. You are a modern day Joseph of Arimathea. And God has you here and now for just such a time as this. All right. Let's go to another story. We're going to see another Joseph. All right, fair enough. Going to go over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. Hey, have you ever been around a really encouraging person? Yeah? You ever been around a really discouraging person? You know, we all know people who can brighten a room by leaving, right? You know? And they are the crabgrass in the lawn of life. Well, you are about to meet a person... Excuse me, that the early church gave a nickname, and his nickname was Mr. Encouragement. His name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas, Mr. Encouragement, and here's his story. All right, Acts chapter 4. There were no needy persons among them. Now, stop right there for a moment. It doesn't mean that there weren't any needy persons in Jerusalem. It means that within the church, there were no needy ones. It begins with the family of God. And from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. And Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, Mr. Encouragement, he sold the field that he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. All right, there's the story right there. That's it. You got a guy named Barnabas. He's a businessman. He owns a couple of condos. He says, "Here's some needs in the church." He sells the condos, takes the proceeds, brings it in, puts it at the apostles' feet. That means there's no manipulation here. There's no strings. It's just, he says, "You guys know the needs of the church. You see what's going on, and I'm bringing this to you, and I'm going to ask that you distribute it as is needed in the body of Christ." And by the way, sometimes you think that all giving should be private. I don't know where that comes from. Granted, Jesus said if you have a tendency to want to seek the spotlight, you should do things in secret. But sometimes giving and sharing can really be inspirational, and it can inspire others. Barnabas did it right here, and he inspired other believers. But now you come to another story. It's in the very next chapter. There's a couple in the church by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, and they're going, you know, Barnabas got a lot of really good press. We'd like to get some good press like that too. And so they decided to play pretend. You ever played pretend? Shake your head like this. You've played pretend. When you were a little kid, you pretended to be, you know, a fireman or a policeman or a pilot or a nurse or, you know, something. We've all played pretend. And sometimes as we get to be adults, we play pretend. We pretend to be smarter or stronger or braver or maybe more generous than we really are. You ever pretended? Even now? Have you ever been home watching TV, just doing absolutely nothing productive? You hear a car pull in, it's your parents, or it's your wife, and all of a sudden you turn off the TV and you get up and you get busy, act like you're... Anybody here ever done that? If you've ever done that, raise your hand. Right. Have you ever heard anybody talk about maybe a book or a movie or something that's really popular out there in culture, and they're talking about it, and you sort of go along like, oh, I kind of know what you're talking about. I'm familiar with that book. I'm familiar with that. And you're really not. You don't have the foggiest idea what they're talking about. Anybody ever done that? Any of you, have you ever been driving, you're driving along, and there's a car beside you, and the driver in this car is trying to get your attention to let them over into the lane, but you pretend like you don't see them. And so rather than coming across like a jerk, you pretend that you don't see them, and then rather than being a jerk, you simply come across like, you know, a clueless guy. Anybody here ever done that? I personally would never stoop that low. That is bad. I can't believe you would admit that. All right? Pretending. There's a story of Ananias and Sapphira, and they said, you know, everybody made such a fuss over Barnabas and his generosity. I tell you what, we're gonna sell our condo, and we're going to posture ourselves as being more generous than we really are. You remember what happened? First the husband, then the wife. They go down in church. When I was a little kid, I saw a guy die in church. I'm not trying to be funny. I saw a guy die in church. Sunday night service, you know, that was the day when people sat up on the stage and he was supposed to, I don't know, read scripture, lead prayer, and just fell over. And it scared me, you know, stiff. I was just a little kid. He fell out and people, you know, responded. Ananias and Sapphira died in church because they lied to people about their generosity. Now, there's nothing after that. There's no teaching section of the Bible. All of these are narratives. You got the widow and her two mites. You got Joseph of Arimathea. You got Mr. Encouragement. You got Ananias and Sapphira. We got one more story. One more, very, very quickly. And it's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is where the Apostle Paul wants to encourage the Corinthian church to generosity. And what he does, he tells them a story about the churches in Macedonia, like in Thessalonica, places like that. And here's what he says. He says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, notice this, it welled up into extreme generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. And so since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, see also that you excel in this grace of giving. And I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And so to the Corinthian church and to us right here in Sugar Land, he says, I want you to think of these people in Macedonia who, though they were not wealthy, still they were generous and wanted to be. And the greatest example of all, the greatest narrative of all concerning generosity is Jesus himself, the most generous person ever. He, in coming to the earth, he was generous. In going to the cross to pay for your sin and mine, he was generous. In rising from the dead and then giving us the Holy Spirit, he is generous. In giving us the gift of salvation, he is generous. In giving us eternal life, he is generous. He tells us to pray because he loves to give good gifts. He is generous. Every good gift comes down from above, from our generous God and Father. And so when the New Testament exhorts us to a generous spirit, it just uses one story after another, one illustration after another. And it's saying to me, Ronnie, when you're generous, you're standing in big footprints. You are imitating noble and worthy role models. One of the most beautiful stories of generosity I know happened right here about 3 years ago. I'll never forget the day I got this letter. From a church that you helped start in Uganda. From Imbarara, Uganda, they wrote, Dear Ronnie, a few weeks ago, our church leaders were made aware of the hurricanes that hit Houston, and we were all worried about the people at First Colony. We were afraid that the people there at First Colony had lost homes and belongings. And after hearing that indeed some had sustained some help or some had sustained some damage, we wanted to help. And so today in our giving time, we announced that everything that we collected in our church today would be sent to the church at First Colony to help you. Our weekly contribution here is usually around 18,000 shillings. That's the equivalent of $11. Well, today we collected 36,250 shillings, $21.96. And all of this is to be given to the church there to help whoever needs it. And so I will be sending a check for $21.96 to the First Colony Church of Christ from the Imbarara Church of Christ to assist. I realize it's not much. It might not even pay for one piece of fencing. But know that it's given in love, and that the people of the Imbarara Church of Christ give it with a pure heart and with much sacrifice. May I ask you a question? What generosity stories are you creating? What generosity stories are you passing along to your children and to your grandchildren? What generosity stories are being told of you to encourage fellow believers? What generosity stories are being applauded from heaven because only heaven can see certain acts of generosity? Some in this room are like the widow and her mites. Some of you are like Joseph of Arimathea. All of us have a role to play. And here's the good news. Generosity is one of the best things you do for your own heart, for your own spirit. I realize it's not Christmas time, but Charles Dickens wrote a great story, and it's actually based on the Christian principle of generosity. He wanted people to know that when you're miserly, you're like a Scrooge. But when you become generous, something wonderful happens not only to others, but it happens to you. And in Dickens' book of A Christmas Tale, He tells the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. And you remember after Scrooge has his transformation, the book ends as follows. Scrooge went to church. He walked about the streets. He watched the people hurrying to and fro. He patted children on the head. He questioned beggars, and he looked down into the kitchens of houses, and he looked up to the windows, and he found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed that any walk, that anything could give him so much happiness. Nothing but generosity. And some people laughed to see the alteration in Scrooge, but he let them laugh. His own heart laughed. And that was quite enough. That's why our Lord Jesus says, it indeed is more blessed to be a giver, to be generous in heart, than it is even to be on the receiving end. Now, in just a moment, we're going to have a prayer time. And I'll say something about that here in just a second. Right now, let me ask everybody here to look in your order of worship, and you'll see a communication card. And here on this communication card, there's a place where you can fill it out. You can indicate a desire to talk to one of our church leaders here about baptism, about placing membership. There's also a place on this communication card for you to fill out a prayer request, because our church leaders, we would love during the week to pray over any of the requests that you might submit. And so here, over the next few moments, feel free to take your time, fill out that communication card, and when we finish our prayer time, those cards will be passed to the ends of the aisles and collected by our ushers. At this time, let me ask our elder couples to please come on down front, be taking your place down here. This morning, I've been talking about our generous God. And no one is more generous than He is. He loves to give. He loves to give good gifts. And we are invited to ask for anything, and He promises to hear and to respond with wisdom and with kindness. And so during our prayer time, we're going to give you a chance to certainly pray right where you are, but also you are invited to come down here and pray with one of our elder couples. You can bring any prayer request. Come down and talk to them about anything. It may be a burden, it may be a hassle, it may be an opportunity, it may be a praise report. But this is a fantastic time for us to enter into this concert of prayer, okay? Why don't you stand right where you are? Our praise team is going to lead us in some songs, and you are invited to come down here and pray with our elders. If it's important to you, it's important to us, it's important to God. Let's pray together, please.